Right. And he's going to be Jewish. And I think
there's a possibility that he'll be, again, we don't know who the tribes are. The only tribe we really know now is the tribe of Levi. The Levites and Aaron, we can know some of them because they carried on their name by either the name, last name Levi or Levi, as they'll say. And also, if you see somebody with the last name Cohen, that is another indicator that they come from the tribe of Aaron. So you have the tribe of Aaron being the Cohen, the Kohanim, that's plural, meaning the priests, from the Aaronic line, that is from Aaron's line of the high priesthood. And then you have the Levites, who were we call the assistant pastors today. The Kohanim were like the pastors. A senior pastor would be Aaron, and the Levites would be like the assistant pastors. But we, interestingly enough, Greg, of all the different tribes, that's the only ones that the Lord preserved that you can know who they are. And that's probably going to come into play in the last days because of the temple. You're going to need somebody who they can prove they're a Kohen, and they can prove they're a Levite. So we can see Levi or Levi, that's the assistant pastors, we would say, the tribe of Levi. And when you see, again, the Kohanim, they're the Kohens, the other ones from Aaron, which I mean they're eligible to be the high priest. So they can actually get a high priest that fits the requirements and Levites that fit the requirements, but no other tribes do they know. So it's interesting to see how that's been preserved and maybe part of God's plan in this whole last days deception of the third temple
and
all that.
Yeah.
But also, it's interesting. We talk about the Antichrist, and I want to even address this before I get into President Trump and what happened in the Middle East, because this is huge.
Okay.
This is a huge thing that just happened here. Again, it looks like, I think it's going to definitely be somebody that's Jewish blood, maybe completely Jewish, and there may be, like, again, some link to the Arab population in there.
Yeah, because they've got to accept him too, right?
Yeah. So that's where the kind of you go, okay, what's going on here? But the Jews would never accept anybody but a Jew to be their Messiah. I mean, it's a requirement. Scripture, it's got to be Jewish. It's just whether there'll be a blend that the Arabs would accept, because maybe from a descendant of Abraham, they might accept that. Either way, you know, who's it going to be? Well, we don't know, and we're not really to be looking for the Antichrist. We're to be looking for the Christ. But I will throw some interesting things out there. There is an indication he might be from the tribe of Dan. However, we don't know who the tribe of Dan is.
Oh,
and why? So
that's a problem.
It doesn't really help.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when you read Jacob pronouncing all the prophetic pronouncements over the tribes of Israel before he dies. He does say that Dan will be a lion's whelp, a serpent, by the way, who bites the heel of the horse. And somebody said, well, that just means he's going to be a judge, which the judges did come from Dan. But the word serpent there is interesting that he uses to describe Dan in that. Especially when you look at what was the one tribe that led the way in idolatry and false worship of a false god in the nation of Israel, it was Dan. And then you see that prophecy about Dan being a serpent. You go, it might be that whoever the Antichrist is from the tribe of Dan. Of course, it wouldn't matter because you can't prove what tribe you're from anyway, but I find that interesting.
But God would know that.
God would know. And also, there are some really strong indicators. You could make some arguments about him coming out of Greece. Just because of it. In Daniel, it talks a lot about the little horn coming out of the four horns that broke out of the Greek Empire. So we don't know that, but it could be somebody from the tribe of Dan that comes out of Greece is a possibility. Don't be chasing that down. Don't be watching now for who. Here's the thing. Even if you start looking for Jews in Greece, and let's say, because that may be wrong, but let's say that even that was a lead, you're not going to find out whether they're the tribe of Dan or not, because you can't find out. The only ones you're going to be able to know are the Kohen, which come from Aaron, and the Levites, tribe of Levi. But with all that said, that's who's going to be the Antichrist. It's not going to be President Trump. It's going to be somebody like that. And he's going to come out of a group of 10. There'll be a group of 10 kings that'll be overseeing the earth in its authority. And from that, he's going to rise up as a small horn, the Bible says in Daniel. He'll rise up, he'll pull three of those down, and then there'll be eight, seven plus he'll be the eighth. And there he'll be, and they're going to turn their authority and power over to him. And so he's going to be able to take over and rule that way. He's going to have great authority from Satan. He'll have power given to him from Satan. The Bible says that Satan has limited power, that God allows him to distribute the way he wants to distribute it. God controls everything. But Satan has an ability with his power to do certain things and, again, distribute it the way he wants. He'll give that off his power to the Antichrist, even as he tried to give it to Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus rejected it. He said, bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You notice the Lord didn't say, you can't do that. You don't have the authority. Nope, he didn't say that.
Mm-mm.
He just said, no, I'm going to bow down to God. Why didn't the Lord rebuke him for that? Because he does have the authority to give the kingdoms of the world to someone.
Yeah.
And he'll give that, he'll offer that to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to take it and he'll rule the world through this whole system. Now, why is that interesting? Because President Trump doing this whole Middle East peace thing, Daniel chapter 9 says the Antichrist is going to make a peace deal with the countries of the Middle East and around the world to bring peace to the Middle East. Now, the president made all these very grandiose statements. You know, after 3,000 years, I've finally gotten peace. No, he didn't. I'm not attacking our president. I'm just saying there's not peace there the way he's talking about.
Exactly.
There's a Gaza deal that's trying to get to phase two.
Right.
But he's a very grandiose, you know, and I get that. It's who he is. So I'm not judging that either way. I'm just saying, no, there's not peace after 3,000 years in the Middle East. But what's happening is a template is being put in place so that that can be done by the Antichrist and these countries coming together. And what I find interesting, now I've always looked at it, okay, these 10 kingdoms come together. There doesn't have to be a peace board to do that. No, they can just come together. But he said something very interesting. He formed a peace board that he now is chairing that will give all these guys come together to try to work on peace in the Middle East and this peace with Israel. Okay, so that all the nations, surrounding nations, can be a part of it. So he's found a way to make them all inclusive without all the Europe and all these other people involved, which I think they will be. They all will be, but he's found a way to do that. So that drew them in, and that works toward, again, that's wise. That works toward, I guess, wise in an earthly way. That works toward the Abraham Accords and all these different things. So, no, there's not 10 nations involved now, so don't get excited about that. And even if there was, it would probably change, because I don't think you're going to see some of the nations that are involved now being involved. Yeah. But, Greg, it gives a template. This may be. It may be the template for the 10 toes we see in Daniel chapter 2.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know, you've said so much, Pastor Merck, and it's got my mind spinning and probably some of our listeners as well. Yeah. I mean, although I think it's ironic that, the tribe of Dan, the Danites, Tel Dan, is in the north.
Yes.
All of Israel's problems, are going to come from the north.
Right.
When we look at Ezekiel.
Right.
I'm just wondering if... And I don't know that the Bible would necessarily chronicle this. Maybe it does in some of the storytelling of the Old Testament in terms of tribe movement in the wars and things like that. But it would be very interesting if the Danites had somehow migrated north into Greece.
Well, let me tell you what happened. Again, really, Greg, and here's where it gets muddy. First of all, I want to make clear that I'm not saying...
No, I know you're not, but I'm just having fun with it. Yeah. It's just, because it's interesting that Dan's in the north.
Yeah, well, it is. But again, what happened was, Greg, there were 10 tribes in the north. All you had was Judah and Benjamin in the south.
Yes.
Those 10 tribes were taken by the Assyrian Empire and scattered, yes, in Greece.
Yes.
But they all 10 were.
Yeah.
So yes, were any scattered to Greece? Yes. As a matter of fact, they scattered all over Greece and all over Europe. But you can't nail it down to that I know of historically, and I'm not a historian.
I know. Just say the tribe of Dan was right here.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Again, I don't know that they, and really, would they even have moved them by tribes? That their goal, Greg, in scattering them was to get them away so they couldn't come together and unify.
Yes.
So that's why they scattered them in different areas around the world. But yeah, they were in Greece and Europe and all over. The point was is disseminate the Jews so they can't come back and they're not a threat. If you let them hang together, become a threat. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
It's just kind of fun to think about.
But let me address something else that I know some people have heard too. There's a false teaching out there where they say that the Jews scattered around the world and they took on different names that we now have for Europeans, such as the British, the Danish.
Interesting.
And of course, Pastor Chuck used to say, and the foolish, because nobody knows where they are. Nobody knows who they are. The only ones you can nail down are the others. And again, I wouldn't go, I'm even mentioning the fact that it could be from Dan. That's for educational. That's a possibility, but I don't want our listeners to run off looking for ways to prove who it is because you can't find the tribe of Dan. But DNA, if you move the A to the middle, that's how people
I like
get
eating danishes.
Conspiratorial,
though.
Yes, yes. Okay. Danishes are very good.
Yes.
And but there's nothing to do with good croissants and good Danish that has anything to do with the Antichrist. But either way, getting back to the main point of all this, and that is, I'm not saying that this board of peace is the setup for the 10 toes, but it is interesting. You have this peace agreement now trying to be formulated in the Middle East with a brand new board. Didn't have a number of people designated to it, as far as I know, called the Board of Peace. You've got these countries coming together. And it's like, it's not President Trump. I feel confident, but he's, everything's ready.
Could it be, like, so it's a precursor.
I believe so. And Greg, you know, the Bible talks about the Roman Empire being rebuilt. And I've always looked toward that being rebuilt out of Europe. And I'm still looking for that being rebuilt out of Europe. But even President Trump, he's doing a lot of Roman type things. Did you see his new monument he wants to build to himself in the Washington Mall?
No.
It's a giant Roman arch type thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he introduced it today or whatever, and the picture, he wants to have this thing built, you know, for his name or whatever. And it's this big, it almost looks like those big Roman things. When I went to Rome, they have these big things when the Herods would conquer. They would build these big arches and these big things that had all the imagery of their battles they'd won on it. And it would kind of talk about them. And it was like this memorial. Still there today in Rome. You can see them. When I saw it, I thought, wow, kind of reminds me of Rome.
Wow.
So I think it's the spirit. Here's what's happening, though. Get this. President Trump, it pretty much said last week he doesn't know the Lord. And a lot of people saying, we hope the president, he admitted he doesn't. And the reason I say that is he came out when he was asked about going to heaven. He said, I'm probably not going to go. So that, which is a sad statement, and not to get sidetracked, he's got a lot of people around him that are sharing the gospel, no doubt, and have. And so
people praying for him.
Yes, yeah. Be praying for President Trump that he would come to know the Lord. But he pretty much admitted, no, I don't know the Lord, so I don't think I'm going to heaven. But at the same time, remember, the spirit of Antichrist is going to be reviving the Roman Empire. So again, I think you could see even the same type of maybe Roman architecture, Roman type stuff rising to the surface again. We know when we were there on the Roman trip, we went to Rome a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, maybe only a year ago now. They were redoing Rome. They were spending huge amounts of money to redo the monuments, to redo the Vatican, to redo Rome,
yes,
to get the glory of Rome back. And yeah. I was like, wow. Greg, it was almost like they were getting ready for someone.
Yes, I remember that.
But remember, this is going to be a worldwide empire.
Yeah.
Which means you're probably going to see some of the effects of that in other money power places, such as America and other places. So I don't know. I just find it, but it's the spirit of Antichrist at work. And
yes,
you can see the spirit of Antichrist at work. But really keep your eye on this board of peace. If it ends up being said, okay, we're going to end up having 10 nations from around the globe represented, it's going to get interesting. Now, you said, well, what's the timing of it? Keep your thought.
Yeah.
Don't lose it. But if you say, what's the timing of that? I believe this can't happen until President Trump is gone. Because he would not go along with stepping down and giving his authority to anyone.
Right.
He's not the Antichrist. Nobody's going to rise up and pull him down. I mean, all that could happen. But I'm saying, I think what you're looking at, and this has been a concern of mine, when the next election takes place, if a conservative doesn't win and a liberal candidate gets in, they're going to be so angry at what is happening right now. I think it's going to, you talk about a pendulum swing.
Yes.
I think you're going to see a pendulum swing so far to the left. I mean, it's going to be just like radical, 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 that it could be the type of person that would say, all right, you know what? I'll turn America's authority over. Who are you? You're from Europe. You have power, you have influence, and you can do that. Okay, we will lay our sovereignty down. We'll lay down our constitution. You go ahead and run things. So see, what my point is, President Trump would not lay down our authority at this point for that man to take it. It would have to be taken by force. But the Bible doesn't describe it that way. The Bible says the Antichrist will come in with intrigue and peace. So he's going to come in with this. Everybody's going to go, wow. And when they say wow, they're going to go, you should run everything. Not going to be won by war. It's not going to be battles. He's not going to come in and start smashing people. That comes later. He's going to come in shining.
Yes.
Hello, I'm here. And the world's going to go, wow. And everybody's going to go, you know what? You just take over. It's yours. Well, that's not going to happen with President Trump. He's got the greatest stakes, the greatest presidency, the greatest car, the greatest house, the greatest family. He's the greatest of everything. I'm not attacking him, abusing that. I'm saying he's very, very confident, and he's not going to turn. He's make America great. The whole platform is I'm running the show. We're going to get back to lead everything. I'm not laying anything down. Somebody has to be in office at the White House that is willing to lay everything down.
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody that says, I don't care that we're the greatest. I don't care who runs it. I don't care. Matter of fact, I want to give it away because we don't deserve it because somehow we got it unfairly. We colonialized. We did whatever. So we need to give it away to someone else, this kind of thing. So I'm saying if conservatives don't win the next election and somebody gets in that's that kind of person, that's perfect setting. If this peace board is in place, everybody's ready, that is the perfect thing. Because get this. Say President Trump, he can't run in 2028 again. Or, you know, everybody jokes about it. Let's say he's done. And just imagine, let's say, I don't know, one of those liberal, I'm mad, I'm going to make a point about how mad I am, liberal, and America's going to go exactly the opposite direction in all things and, you know, just go full throttle the other way. At that moment, President Trump's out of the way. Now Russia and Iran realize nobody's going to resist us. We're going into Israel. They go in. When you read Ezekiel 38, it says that the other nations go, what are you doing? But nobody does anything. It shows weakness. It's like, we see you doing it, but we're not going to stop you. We're just going, hey, what are you doing? Hey, stop that. It's like, you remember when all this stuff was happening there in the Middle East and one of the battles, Putin and Ukraine, I guess. The whole campaign there when President Biden was in, stop it. Well, nobody stopped anything.
Right.
Because there wasn't any power or authority. They knew nothing would happen. It was just kind of like, stop it. And so it didn't work. Well, President Trump came in and started blowing things up. So, wait a minute, we better stop it or he'll blow us up because now there's some real, you know, beef behind this. He gets out of office. Somebody gets in who's kind of the stop it, but I won't do anything person. And yes, you can run America and we'll throw our constitution out. Everything's gone. That's a perfect time if you want to take territory.
Right.
That would be the time for China to take Taiwan. That would be the time if Russia and Iran are working together and they really want to try to wipe out Israel, that would be the time to do it. So if that happens at that time, remember, that's at the moment that God pours his spirit out on the nation when he steps in and does this great thing. At some time right around this when the Antichrist comes on the scene. So the timing very well could be the next election is whoever this, if it's a liberal, then you have this whole process of Iran and Russia moving in. Then you have the Antichrist come on the scene and he takes over the peace board and that's where the real agreement is signed. And the whole seven-year process begins. Now, we don't know that's what it's going to be, but very possibly. Now, for those who might be thinking, well, then we have at least 3 years till the rapture. No. The rapture has nothing to do with this whole peace board and the 10 nations and all that. The rapture can happen at any moment.
And we hope it happens before this other stuff that you've talked about might start to happen.
And I believe if the rapture was to happen now, it would speed up that process, and you might see Iran and Russia move on right then.
Yes.
So the point is, don't be looking to that going, we have more time. No, we don't have more time.
No.
The Bible says that the rapture literally can happen at any second. It can happen during this show. Just boom, we're gone. So we need to be ready. Yes, I know. That'd be awesome. but again, I found this so intriguing with these nations coming together. And again, remember, it says they're going to all come together. And remember now, our listeners may not know this, but in Islam, their God, which Allah is a different God than the God of the Bible, he's very different than Yahweh. Their God says it is okay to lie officially if it promotes the means of Islam.
Yes.
So who knows what's being said and what agreements that they're going, you know, my God doesn't mind this. I'm going to lie. Just, yeah, oh yes, we're going to do that. We'll honor this one. They have no intention. So it's all going to be very interesting to see what happens with that. But I see that for whatever the reason, you know, I say whatever the reason is because we're heading into the last days. God is allowing a man with great courage and boldness and drive like President Trump to come in and do this. And look, forget about his politics and where he stands. If we're looking biblically and just thinking Bible, God is using him. He's being used or however it's happening, whatever the process is, whatever, you know, God's allowing or God's doing, we know God's sovereign, he's in control. Everything's being put in place. And at the same time, let's don't forget this. At the same time, signs of the times, listeners, you've got 1 Timothy 3 being played out in front of us. You've also got Matthew 24 where he says this, lawlessness will abound in the last days. 1 Timothy 3 talks about the lawlessness. We have, it's not just people in the streets rebelling against the government, okay?
It's your paid protesters.
It's government. Leaders, it's governors of states that are leading the rebellion. It's mayors, it's senators and congressmen doing this. Look, when your leaders, we're in the house, the kids are all rebelling and they're throwing things and breaking things. Usually mom and dad come in and get mad and say, stop it. There will be order in this home. I won't allow that. You're going to respect your mother. You're going to pick that up. You're going to do this. There's going to be law and order, if you will, in the home, right? But when the kids are crazy and they're tearing the house apart and dad comes in and starts throwing the Play-Doh with them and splashing ink on the walls and laughing and tearing things up, you've got a real problem. That home's going to collapse. That's what we have now.
Yes.
We used to have our governors and our Congress and senators and people coming in and saying, wait a minute now, we may disagree politically, but stop this nonsense. There must be order here. We have laws set up in our nation. No. Now we have them marching on other offices in the Capitol. I mean, these are our leaders.
Yes.
We have governors saying, rebel against the president, fight against the federal government. And I know, look, anybody can be saying, yeah, but if the government's doing wrong, no, no. If you're a Christian, I know this didn't apply to non-Christians listening to the broadcast. And by the way, I know we do have non-Christians that listen. We're glad you're listening because hopefully you'll hear the truth and God will pierce your heart and draw you in. But this is not a political statement. This is simply how this works. Here's the bottom line. I don't expect the unbeliever to understand this. But as Christians, the Bible says we're to come under the governing authorities even if we don't agree with them. Unless they're telling us to sin against God. Now, if that governmental leader is saying, you go out and commit adultery, you go out and steal from your neighbors, you go out and do this, well then, yeah, we say no to that. But if they're simply saying, look, these are the laws on the books, we need to obey them. I look at the thing like right now with illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you may not like illegal immigrants being arrested and removed. That's fine. We can go to Congress and change that. We can change the laws in Congress and say, you know what? We want illegals to be able to come here and get all the benefits and don't want anybody to do anything to them. And now that's law. We can do that as a nation if we want. But currently, that's against the law. So the right thing in God's eyes and man's eyes is you stop that from happening. That's just the right thing to do according to Scripture. It has nothing to do with anybody's personal viewpoints or whether or not you like them. You love everybody if you know Christ. That's not it. But when you start having the leaders rebel against the law and you start having them lead the way, what's going to happen to the kids?
Right.
So when they're doing this in Congress and Senate, when they're doing this as governors, then look at the street. Don't be surprised when you see Molotov cocktails and guns being fired and people trying to break down. That's going to happen. You're supporting it. So again, what does the Bible say? In the last days, in 1 Timothy, you're going to see, in Matthew 24, lawlessness, that is those who don't abide the law, it will abound. We're watching it abound right now, Greg.
Yes.
And you're seeing our leaders. So America's in big trouble if there's not a revival. But with that said, maybe God's going to use this for revival, or maybe, you know, hopefully this leads into the rapture, whatever the case might be. But there, listen, don't be surprised by these things. What you're seeing is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. I wanted to give you guys kind of an update on that. I didn't realize I'd taken the whole first half, but again, it needed to be said. And so there it is. You're now updated and we can start with the rest of the broadcast.
All right, our Lone Israel article this week comes from Israel Today, dated October 9th. Israeli minister says, we are the masters of the Temple Mount.
Yeah, and just so our listeners know, the Temple Mount is still currently under the control of the Arab population. Jordan is now running the Temple Mount, although the Jewish police are up there and Jews can go up there. But the reason I wanted to include this article is that in the past, really, Greg, up until the last few years, Jews haven't really cared that much about the Temple Mount as a whole, and they haven't really spoken about it. But in the last few years, maybe 10 to 15, really the last 10 especially, there's just been this upsurge in Temple Mount, Temple Mount, Temple Mount. We need to get on the Temple Mount. And that's going to happen because, remember, the third temple has to be rebuilt. It will be in the last days.
Yes.
Well, standing atop Jerusalem's Temple Mount, which is Judaism's holiest site, Israel National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir declared on Wednesday that Israel is victorious 2 years after the Hamas brutal October 7th invasion of southern Israel. We are 2 years after the terrible massacre, he said. Here at the Temple Mount, there is victory. So notice he's relating the victory to the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is always connected to God. So this is, he's making a reference here to God intervening. And they're looking to the Temple Mount where God has shown his power in the past. He says, in every house in Gaza, there's a picture of the Temple Mount. Now, I'm not sure what he means by that. Probably just God intervening and again, something to do with God reestablishing his authority on the Temple Mount. The minister who leads the Jewish Power Party said Israel's mission remains unfinished until victory is complete in Gaza. We are the masters of the Temple Mount. I only pray that our prime minister will allow a complete victory in Gaza as well, to destroy Hamas, to bring back the hostages with God's help to achieve total victory. And Gavir's remarks came amid a record-breaking numbers of Jewish visitors ascending the sacred site this year, a 22% increase over previous years, the highest since 1948 in modern history, since they've come back. During Rosh Hashanah holiday here recently, more Jews ascended the mount over last year, the whole year last year. So on that one moment, more people went up at that than the whole year. A clear sign of the growing national spiritual resolve. So here's the point. God is stirring in the hearts of the Jewish people for their Temple Mount. And it's really to draw them back to God, although the temple is going to be a false temple and the third temple, God's not going to reside there. But Greg, it is leading right into what the Bible says. There's going to be a rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount. Who knows? It's going to be by the Antichrist. Maybe through the peace board as they divide up the land and decide what's going to be Palestine and what's going to be Israel. So again, keep your eye on that. Very, very interesting.
All right, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Information comes to us via Breitbart, dated October 2nd, a few days ago. Failing to stop them, Russia announces plan to just simply ignore UN sanctions on Iran.
Yeah, again, interesting. You know, Russia is a part of the UN, but it's like the UN doesn't really have any teeth.
No.
It's just kind of like we said earlier.
As Ronnie Simon said, the useless nations.
They are. It's really nothing. I mean, even they're called the UN.
The UN.
Remember the UN cola years
Unproductive.
Ago? Remember the UN cola?
Yes.
Like, I'm not cola.
Yes.
They're the UN government. But either way, the government of Russia said on Wednesday they would entirely disregard the United Nations snapback sanctions. Now, remember, there was a deadline the United Nations set that they were going to start putting sanctions back on Iran if they didn't cooperate nuclear. And they quit cooperating with the IAEA, the nuclear agency. So
yes.
Others said, okay, that's it. We're not going to sell stuff to you. You can't send stuff here. Russia's like, we don't care. We're going to do it anyway. And so Russia's UN ambassador, Vasily Nebenzia, said the other members of the country signing the Joint Comprehensive Plan, or 2015 Iran nuclear deal, agreed to the snapback sanctions, and the Russian government would simply be living in two parallel realities, offered no suggestions for resolving the disconnect. He said, we do not recognize the snapback as coming into force. We'll be living in two parallel realities because for some snapback happened, for us it did not. So basically, we're going to ignore this. The envoy condemned the return to sanctions as a major escalation around Iran. Now, again, notice this: Iran is staying buddy buddy. I mean, Russia is staying buddy buddy with Iran. This is what we would expect in line with them coming together in battle in the last days.
Yeah.
But again, exactly what the Bible says. If I didn't know what's happening in world history. And I just dropped in and somebody said, look, we're not going to tell you what's going on in the world. You just dropped in for a while and here is some kind of time travel. And we're close to the end. Tell me what you would expect with Iran and Russia. I'd say they're friends. They're friends. They're working together militarily. They're defending each other and they're going to be coming closer and closer. That's going to happen. And jaws would drop. How do you know that? You've been to the future. No. I hadn't been to the future. I didn't see the movie. But the bottom line is, I just know what the Bible says. They're going to be friends, and they are. Yeah. And you're going to see that all the way up until they move on Israel, in a unified attack where God will destroy them and reveal himself to the world through that.
That is Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 385, which is less awkward to listen to than waving to someone who wasn't waving at you. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got three questions this week. Our first one comes from Robert. Regarding Ezekiel's war, his question goes as such. What are your thoughts on when this war will take place? There are so many signs that the nations described in Ezekiel as coming together for this war are, in fact, coming together. However, it would seem that Ezekiel's war can't happen until the USA no longer supports Israel and Israel is at peace. It's also puzzling to me that Russia hasn't responded to the attacks made by Israel and the U.S. on Iran since the two countries are, quote unquote, allies. What are your thoughts on why they haven't responded?
Well, again, as far as them responding on all that, you know, as far as what Russia does, they're not going to come out and tell all their plans that they're going to do or not do. As far as Israel and USA and Iran, all those kind of things. So most of this is done behind closed doors. But on the biblical stuff, as far as USA being in power and the attack happening any moment, remember, when you read Ezekiel, it doesn't say that no one has the power to stop Russia and Iran. It just says that no one does.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of options. One is President Trump is still in power and he just doesn't do anything, which I doubt. You know, I think he would intervene. The other is that the rapture takes place and we're all gone and there's such shock in America and everybody's so disarrayed that then the attack takes place. Nobody knows how to respond. And it kind of happens without anybody being able to think about it to respond. Or it happens again after President Trump is out of office, either 3 years later or if for some way, God forbid that he was to die before his time runs out. either through, you know, some type of assassination or just dying naturally, which I don't think will happen either. But I'm saying, and hopefully won't. The point is that we don't know what the future holds as far as the president goes. So none of this inhibits Ezekiel's war taking place. It could happen at any moment. They could begin to march on Israel right now. And Russia says, look, if you intervene, then we're going to fire nuclear weapons. And well, then we're firing nuclear weapons back. Well, we don't care. We're going anyway. And the president goes, well, I can't take a chance of America being destroyed by nuclear weapons. It's happening over in Israel. So on this one, I won't act. You know, there's all kinds of different scenarios that could be in place. But don't ever put yourself in a position where you think, well, that can't happen because so-and-so's in office. That can change overnight. Like I said, if there's an assassination, if there's a death, if there's a rapture, if whatever, any of that could take place. It was interesting today, Greg, I was reading Saudi Arabia is even now getting greater ties with America because we're now supplying more. We've said we'll defend them if they're ever attacked. We're going to be that ally that defends them and goes to war with them. And so you're seeing a greater and greater wedge between Saudi Arabia and the nations that dislike Israel. They're becoming more their buddy. And when you read Ezekiel, it says that Saudi Arabia doesn't get involved. Although they say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But they don't come to their defense, but they don't fight against them. And so we see Saudi Arabia kind of standing in this neutral position, which, again, remember, is a half-brother to Ishmael by Abraham's next wife. You know, had Sheba and Dedan were born by after Sarah died and he was remarried. Well, Sheba and Dedan are Saudi Arabia. So you've got family ties right there by half-brothers and the same dad, Abraham, but different moms. So there is a family connection that goes back between Saudi Arabia and Israel. And so, again, I didn't mean to get too sidetracked. My point is that when it says, let me, and again, you said that the USA no longer supports Israel if that happens. Right now, we do support them. But again, if President Trump is out, you're going to see our support. Let's say somebody gets in who's a liberal candidate. I believe you're going to see zero support for Israel. As a matter of fact, you're going to see it probably go the other direction really fast. As we talked about in Matthew 24, it says all nations will turn against Israel in the last days. We're seeing that happen. And as soon as the Holy Spirit's keeping that from happening, once the Holy Spirit removes President Trump and removes anybody out of the way, it's going to turn, I think, radically against Israel. So that's going to be done with overnight if the president's gone. And then also, when they say they're at peace, well, right now, Israel's getting at peace. And what do I mean by that? Yeah, they may not have settled everything yet in Gaza, and they're still dropping some bombs in southern Lebanon because of Hezbollah, but they're not at war right now. They're not at war. They have defeated Hamas. Hamas is defeated. Now they're trying to say, how do we get through the peace deal? And if it doesn't work, they'll go in and wipe out the rest of those they've already defeated. In Hezbollah, they're not fighting with Lebanon right now, with Hezbollah up there. They're going in and still blowing up some Hezbollah sites. But you could make the argument, I could make the argument right now that Israel right now is at peace. They are. They've defeated Hamas. Hezbollah's neutralized. Syria's out of the picture. They're at peace. But so we have to say, what does it mean by at peace? What is the definition? Does it mean they don't have any tension at all? I don't think so. So I think right now, again, this war could happen at any moment if circumstances changed, even just slightly.
Pastor Mark, our next question comes from John regarding the differing numbers of days in Daniel 12. He says in Daniel 12, starting in verse 11, we find, and from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the days. That was the King James for you.
I know, I need to get you a new King James.
We need to get John because he gave it to us in the King James.
Oh, okay.
Then it says in Daniel 12, 11 through 13, 1,260 days is mentioned in other places in Daniel and in Revelation. This is the only place I have seen 1290 and or I think he meant to say 1353 or he wrote 1335. Either way, can you help me understand these different durations?
Yes, my fairest MC, thou challengest me to my timing in days. Wouldst thou hast said it some other way, might have known quicker how to answer. Thus, I will now attempt.
I love
great.
It.
Great. No, and we're not, obviously, you know, we're not making fun of John. I mean, we're being silly.
Just don't speak the King's English anymore.
Yeah, but I'll make a comment. I love the King James. Yes. I think the King James is, you know, some people say it's the only version, which I disagree with, but it's probably, to me, the most accurate version that's out there. That's my personal opinion after my studies.
Yes.
However, I use the New King James because it doesn't use all the language that's sometimes harder to follow.
Yes.
So we're not making fun, John. This is a great question. And I think it's one that all probably multiple of our listeners want to have the answer to. And let me explain it to you. Yes. First of all, the 7 years is broken up into prophetic years. And God is consistent all through the Bible. There's a hermeneutical principle. Hermeneutics is the science of interpretation. In other words, the way the Bible is interpreted, you'll hear the word hermeneutics. So the hermeneutic principle of expositional constancy, that means as you expose the Word of God, God is constant all the way through it. So God uses 360-day years based on the moon all through the Bible. He doesn't do it based on rotation of the sun and the stars and all that. He uses it based on the moon calculation, and that's God's prerogative. He does it how he wants, which is comes out to a 360-day year from God's perspective, biblically. So whenever you look at prophecy, you have to base it off of a 360-day year, not a 365 and a third day year. So when the 7 year starts, it's going to be based on 360-day years, and that is going to be a total of 2,000, my mind went blank, 2,000... 1260 times two. It'll hit me in a minute. My mind's just the math.
Yes.
But 3.5 years is 1260 days. Greg, you're doing it right now. Thank you. And the other half is 1260 days. What is that times two? The total. So the total amount is 2,520.
2,520.
Thank you. Okay. 2,520 days is the total number of days of the final 7 years that God has promised he'll deal with the nation of Israel. And it's broken up into 1,260 segments, the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. That's important to understand for this question, John. So I'm laying this foundation and for all of our other listeners. So what God says is the Antichrist is going to show up in that final 7 years, and he's going to put an image up on the Temple Mount, which Jesus called an abomination. And it's an abomination that causes desolation because wars are going to break out. God's going to begin to pour out the bowls of wrath at that time because it's such an abomination on the Temple Mount to declare that anybody else is God other than the God of heaven and the God of the Bible. So he says when he sets up that image, it'll be 12,090 days. Okay? Well, we know that for the half, there's only 1,260 for the half. So what is the extra 30 days? It's not hard. It's just we typically don't think that way. What it indicates is that 30 days before he unveils it, it's going to be set up. So back up 30 days, it'll probably be there covered, and there's going to be some big announcement. You know, in 1 month from now, the Antichrist, you know, I'm not going to make up a name because somebody will think that I named it, is going to reveal something, stupendous, he's going to be very pompous, very arrogant, great announcement that we'll be doing here in 30 days. And so we're going to have it on all the networks and everyone will be there. It's going to be the greatest, the biggest, you know, it's going to be Trump on steroids, basically.
Yes.
And it's kind of interesting to see him being a precursor. He's really kind of like, if you think about Trump magnified times a thousand, think about that.
Wow.
So this guy's going to do that. It would appear, John, he's going to set the image up on the Temple Mount. Probably what will happen is they'll build the third temple. There's going to be a grand opening. He's going to be there as the peace broker to introduce the new temple at the grand opening for the world of this peace thing that represents peace worldwide. As this new leader has brought finally peace to the Middle East and peace around the world. And he's got some great announcement in 30 days. And it's going to build up to excitement. And then, but it's going to be set up 30 days before it's revealed. So then it's going to be unveiled, it would appear. And there'll be unveiling for the last 3.5 years there will be. But we get that that's 1260 plus 30. You have that, so it's going to be there set up for 1290 days. That's probably what's going to happen because once the Lord comes back, he's not going to let that image be there another 30 days after. Mm. So it's got to go the other way. So for the 1290 days, I believe the image will be set up 30 days before it's revealed. It'll be some great big reveal that the Antichrist is going to do and the big announcement with the opening of the third temple and all the excitement of the world. And then boom, there it'll be. And everybody's going to be shocked. He's going to say, it's me.
And then boom, here comes the bowls.
Get this. And we'll get this. He's going to say, it's me and I'm God.
And God's not going to share that glory with anyone.
And the term heads are going to roll.
Yep.
He's going to start cutting off heads at that point.
Yep.
And that's why some people think he's a Muslim. Well, if there's any kind of link there to Islam, that could come into play.
Sure.
But he's going to be Jewish. But either way, he's going to announce that he is God and he's going to start killing people. That's where the 1290 days comes in. Now, the other date that comes in that you talked about, it says, blessed is he who waits till the 1335. First of all, there's two things. There's oftentimes dual prophecies in Scripture. This is a dual prophecy, I believe. The first one is that there was literally a fulfillment of 1,335 days on the Jewish calendar that had to do with Antiochus Epiphanes and the revealing of all this. So it literally was fulfilled in his day, 1,335 days, literally to the day.
Yes.
However, I think this is dual.
Yes, it is.
I believe this is because, especially in context of the 1290 yeah. And after, I think it's going to go beyond. Well, what you've got is you have an extra 45 days beyond the Lord coming back. And maybe even 75, I have to do my numbers again, 45 or 75 days to go beyond there. I'm sorry I didn't do my numbers before I answered you, John, but here's what it would appear. I think it's 45, because what it is I moved the 30 days before that. So I'm trying to say it all includes there at the end, but the Lord's not going to let that abomination stand once he comes back.
Yes.
So you'll have the 30 days it's set up and obviously not revealed yet. Then at the 1260 point, it'll be revealed. It'll be there through the whole when he declares that he's God and takes over. Then it goes 45 days beyond that. We don't know what the extra 45 days is, but here's what we do know. We do know that when he comes back, he's going to gather the nations of the world that survived the Great Tribulation, the sheep and the goats. They're going to stand before him on this new raised platform. As it says, Jerusalem will be raised up. He'll put the sheep on his right, the goats on his left, and he'll begin the judgment process of those who get to go into the millennial kingdom and those who don't. I personally believe that's that 45 days. I believe during those 45 days will be the judgment of the sheep and the goats. He's going to deal with them individually, and those that get in, get in. Those that don't get in, cast into Hades. They'll be held to the final judgment at the end of his 1,000-year reign. The others will be able to enter in because they have, again, and they'll automatically look. The sheep will automatically get to enter in because he'll know them. But the others, I think it's going to be a process of, well, they'll get to stand before him. He's going to speak their judgment, and they'll be cast out. So I think that's what the 45 days is that makes up the whole, the extra 45 days after the 1260 and or 1290 if you back up 30 days.
Okay. Pastor Mark, our last question.
It's a great question, by the way. Great question, John.
Our last question, speaking of, we were talking earlier at the beginning of the show about the migration of the tribe of Dan and other tribes being migrated to the north. Here's Amy, who was in Texas and migrated to Wyoming,
it says.
And her question is, after the rapture, how will the government or media explain / spin the rapture? Meaning all these people just vanished. Surely many would say, oh, God is real, and submit their lives on the spot. Surely the Antichrist wouldn't allow that. Cause will loose then. I don't know what that meant. But anyway, is this why the fear of aliens circles?
Well, again, Amy, Texas girl in Wyoming, so glad you're listening. Glad you're a part of our Signs of the Times family, and we send our love that way. Great question. And, you know, let me just be honest right up front and say we don't know how the world's going to deal with it because the Bible didn't tell us the way the world's going to react when that happens. But we do have some possible speculations. And again, that is one of them.
Aliens would be one of them.
Yeah, that'll be one of the possibilities. Again, the Bible doesn't say they're going to think it was aliens. The Bible doesn't say that. But when you look at the signs happening and all this new interest in aliens, even by our government saying, yes, there's aliens and going to be aliens and all that stuff, you wonder, that could be an explanation. They could say, well, aliens came and just yanked people off the earth. And of course, those that are left are going to be those who don't know God. So they're going to say, look, we got rid of all the troublemakers, the people who want to obey God's word and follow God and obey the laws. And we got rid of all them. So now we can all just kind of do what we want and have peace. It could be that they think that indeed it is aliens. So we don't know. There could also be some confusion at that time. There could be a limited nuclear exchange. Again, the earth is not going to be destroyed by nuclear weapons. We know that because it's still here when the Lord comes back and he gathers the sheep and the goats, right? However, he does talk about Babylon the Great, which is a world system, but does appear also to be a place. It kind of seems to be both when you read that passage. And so it could be that there is some type of nuclear exchange where something gets taken out on a large number of people. Let's say America was involved in that. Imagine suddenly if nukes went off in America, there'd be millions and millions of people just gone that would have a great explanation. They were blown up. So it wouldn't be millions of people disappear and we don't know why. It'd be like, okay, millions of Americans are dead and we know why. It could be, you know, anything. Yellowstone blows up. And they said that would take out a huge portion of America, you know. Now, that didn't fully explain it, but again, it could either be some great catastrophe where millions of people disappear at one time, or it could be, say, aliens. Somebody say that it's aliens or whatever, or maybe we don't know how people are going to react, and God didn't tell us, and so just total chaos, and we'll see what happens as we sit at the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven watching it all during as God pours out the bowls and blows the trumpets, the angels, and all that happens there. So, but again, a great question. We just don't have a clear definite answer from Scripture, but there's some ideas for you.
All right, Pastor Mark, if you folks have a prophecy question like these fine folks just gave us, then just visit our website at thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and you'll see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question that we'll answer next week. All right, our America article is from justiceforall.org, a brief profile, I should say.
Yes.
On American Muslims in 2025.
Yeah, I left this in just because I wanted people to get an idea that Islam is growing in America. And be aware of that.
In a major way.
Oh, yes. And you're seeing it affect elections. You're seeing it affect people in office. Be aware of that. Matter of fact, I think one of the things we have to be careful of, I think right now we need to be saying, look, no Sharia law in America. It goes against our Constitution because they've allowed it now in Britain. They're allowing it in Europe. Our Constitution doesn't allow it. I think we need to start fighting right now to make our voice known. No Sharia law here because it is growing. Again, there's 4.5 million Muslims, it says, in the U.S. now, which to me seems really low. But 4.5 million, that's a lot of people. And they said some 5,896 self-identified currently serving in the military. Matter of fact, I just read, Greg, right when we came on the air, that one of the October 7th Gaza attackers that went in and killed people there in Israel, they caught him down here in Louisiana or something just like this week.
Yeah, they made an arrest.
I mean, they're here. Not just the Muslim population, but those that hate America, that hate Israel, that hate Christians. So we need to be aware, we need to be on our toes, and we need to be making sure that we stand firmly on what our laws say. This is who we are, and we need to remove the bad guys when we find them. But this is who we are, and I'm not saying that everybody that's a Muslim is a bad guy. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when we find the bad guys, we remove them, and we need to be aware that this is growing in America. And if you hear people say, well, we need to pass a law for no Sharia, well, we need to be speaking up because I guarantee you, that's coming. They're going to be pushing Sharia. They're already doing calls to prayer now in what is it?
In Dearborn, Michigan?
Yes. And listen, guys, that kind of stuff, we have to stop it in its tracks now because that is a call to the enemy. That is a call to those that hate Christians and hate God and hate everything that God loves.
All right, we'll take a look at some growing anti-Semitism. And Pastor Mark, I'm going to toss both of these to you at the same time.
Okay, that's great.
The first one is from Israel National News. A new study finds more than half of the U.S. Jews experienced anti-Semitism in the past year. And YNetNews.com, deadly attacks and campus hate. Global anti-Semitism hits record levels.
Yes, I can answer this quickly because there's only a couple of points I want to make. We've been talking about how it's growing on a regular basis all the time. And again, Matthew says it will. But the thing that caught me, Greg, in the first article was that Jews now see persecution against them as a normal Jewish experience. Even in America. And the second thing that caught my attention was, yes, now they're actually even killing them. They're dying. It's not just persecution. Yeah. They're killing them. So we're watching this happen in America. You're seeing a growing attack against them. And by the way, guys, look, I know everybody throws this whole World War II stuff around. I'm not gonna get into the whole for some purpose. I'm saying, remember, when World War II started, it started out slow hatred against the Jews. It grew to massive hatred against the Jews.
Laws passed.
And get this, there were very few pastors and churches that ever made a stand. You had you had Bonhoeffer, you had, Schindler, who wasn't even a Christian, but made a stand. You had Anne Frank's family. Then, of course, that was over in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. There were very few people that made a stand. And, Greg, more and more even churches are turning against Jews and turning against Israel. The question is, are you a Bonhoeffer Christian?
Yeah.
Are you an Anne Frank Christian? Are you a Schindler-type mindset Christian? Or are you going to... Very few people stood up. And now we look back historically and realize the ones that stood up, they were the ones that were right. But what's getting me is I'm seeing now the same thing is happening in our environment today. There are less and less Bonhoeffer churches and more anti-Israel churches.
So the question would be, are you a church that teaches prophecy or are you a church that is becoming prophecy, meaning are you apostate? Are you falling away? Because that's really what you're talking about.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly right.
All right, little pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from Newsweek. This is really an ongoing thing. This is incredible what's going on. Series of earthquakes strike the Philippines days after a tsunami warning. And this article was dated October 13th from Newsweek.
Yes, and there have been two more major earthquakes since this article
the
Philippines.
Exactly.
The point is, here's why I want to point it out, and we can be quick on this. There are a lot of earthquakes. Again, as Elvis said, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Now, that wasn't Elvis. Was that Elvis or was that? Didn't matter.
There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Yes.
And remember, again, another sign of the times is you're going to see an increase in earthquakes, he said, and you're going to see an increase in the frequency of those earthquakes and in the power of those earthquakes. So now we're watching again what's happening with lawlessness. We're watching what's happening in the Middle East peace. We're watching now this contraction in earthquakes. I think we're seeing either Braxton Hicks, those beginning contractions, or we're seeing some contractions of the last days. You're going to see these kind of things happen. Be watching for more and more earthquakes. It's a part of what the Lord said would happen. Don't be panicked. Be informed.
All right, this church article, Pastor Mark, kind of dovetails into the America article a little bit, just in terms of Muslim influence. This is from Breitbart.com, dated October 15th. The Vatican grants a Muslim plea for a dedicated prayer room.
Right, it dovetails, but the wrong kind of dove.
Yes.
You don't want peace between these certain groups. I mean, here's the thing. Again, you know, the Vatican has never been a bastion for truth. I'm just going to say that. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying, look, they don't claim to be Christians. Catholics don't claim to be Christians. They claim to be Catholic. They're their own religion. And then you got this religion, this Catholic religion now that's linked up with Islam. Again, remember, all religions in the last days, after the church is gone, they're going to link up. So you're going to see more and more linkings between different religions because the Antichrist is going to help usher in, and the world's going to, the spirit of Antichrist, a one world religion. So to see Muslim and Catholics coming together doesn't surprise me. They have a common link to Mary and other things either way. But to see them allow that there at the Vatican, again, I don't think you're ever going to see a mosque allowing them to bring in a cross.
No.
So again, it's quite astounding to see how blind they are.
There's another story about Turkey declares that foreign Christians in Turkey are a national security risk.
Wow.
So that's not even in our stack, but that's something else that's going
again,
on.
Again, signs of the times.
Yes. All right, Pastor Mark, we'll see if we can squeeze a few good news articles in here real quick. Our first one comes from Christian Today. Bible translation accelerates as millions receive scripture in their own language.
Yeah, here's what jumped out to me, Greg. In the past year alone, 118 new Bible and New Testament translations, an average of one every 3 days. Why is this happening? Probably because of AI. So again, AI's got a lot of bad, but AI's got a lot of good. And you know what? The Lord is getting his word out in the last days to bring everyone into the kingdom who wants to be there.
Wow. And now this, I think, is a response to what happened with Charlie Kirk. This is from Breitbart.com. 8,000 students attend a Christian revival right here at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah, they're at the Thompson Bowling Arena, a group called Unite US, an evangelistic Christian organization that a lady started this down in Auburn. You know, again, can anything good come out of Auburn? I know people think that. Well, this did. And so praise the Lord for that. But again, Greg, here's the thing. You had 8,000 kids show up to honor God. They had hundreds of people that made professions of faith. They even had, again, a large number of kids who in the back of a truck apparently got baptized.
And, amazing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess they put something down in there to hold the water. And then, you know, all you have to, well, yeah. Anyway, no comment. Well, you know, again, no comment on that other than to say I looked at the time.
I
was going to make a silly joke. But we don't have time for that.
Ahead.
No. This is too important. Guys, look, as we see the numbers of kids giving their life to the Lord, the question is, have you given your life to the Lord? Do you know Jesus Christ? Look, whether you believe these things are going to happen or not doesn't change the truth. These prophetic things we're talking about are going to happen. And if you know Jesus Christ, is the only way you're going to avoid them or get to be a part of the good part of it? Do you want to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want to be in heaven? Then you've got to confess your sin. Lord, forgive me my sin. I believe you died for me on the cross. Receive me as Lord and Savior. And then you have your ticket into the kingdom.
Amen. Pastor Mark, thanks as always. We'll be back next Friday for another edition of Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.